832-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Man, I barely made it today. Averted a near emergency situation. It has been a day, hasn't it? The weather has been, it has stormed, and then the skies cleared for a little while, and now it is storming. It has been storming again. And just long story short, you know how most dogs are in thunderstorms. They don't like it. I mean, I don't think we've ever had a dog that didn't at least whimper a little bit when there was a lot of thunder. My dog is a strong, muscular, can be intimidating looking dog who absolutely is scared to death of thunder. So, I mean, he's been a wreck all day long. I mean, I had to drag him out of the house this morning when I left, and then this afternoon he had wanted no part. So I was gonna keep him in the mud room, and I guess I don't know what he did. I guess he thought I'm gonna be locked up here, so he bolted. I was about to leave the house, and he bolted and was gone. So it's like, well, may not have a dog when I get home, but he fortunately came back. So I made it here in close to record time. Took every right turn and everything on the way in. So good to be here on time. Welcome in. Dan, how you doing today,
man? I'm doing all right. I had to go get my license renewed before coming in today because I thought I had until Monday to do it, but then I checked again and my license actually expires on Sunday, so I should.
Oh, you'd be okay. They give you a grace. Yeah. You get a grace period. As long as you don't do something like, now that they don't send reminders.
I'm on a bunch of lists, so I'm trying not to get pulled over for anything.
I don't think they would bother you if it were a couple of days overdue.
Play it safe, you know, so I went ahead and got it. And you can, nowadays it takes, I mean, especially at the little annex office they have next to the mall here near the station.
Yeah.
I feel like growing up, that was the DMV was one of the places where you would associate like long waits. And,
right.
And in bigger cities, it is indeed true. Like you need to make an appointment or you could be spending the day at the DMV trying to get
especially
form.
If you pick the wrong day.
Yes. And so, but no, it was, I was in and out over at the annex there, and it was very, it's still one of the rare cash and check only.
Yes, it is. Well, businesses well, they there, will, but, they will take cards. And there's a fee.
Oh no, the DMV actually the driver's license people.
Will oh, not, okay. Yeah, I was going to say for your license.
Yes.
For your tag.
For your tag, you can pay with
the
card.
Yeah, for your tag. Yeah.
But,
okay.
But the DMV office there is, or the driver's license office there is, cash and check
only. Okay.
So they have an ATM, so it's not like you're not totally.
It doesn't seem like they would want checks either.
No.
Seems like there'd be more likely a problem with checks than there might be with a card, because if a card was declined, okay, you'd know. Check isn't immediately declined.
Right. Well, I feel like they're probably not sending out the permanent one. Like, you get the temporary, and then they send out the permanent one. I feel like you're probably not getting the permanent one if that check doesn't clear. That would be
guess. Right. Like I said, you know, I was surprised the first time I realized that they don't send out reminders. Now, they've been doing that for a long time. But this was years ago when I got there was a routine, I mean, stop where they were checking everyone's license, and as I pulled up to hand it to the officer, I looked at the expiration date, and it was a year and a half expired. Well, I said, don't they send out reminders? And he goes, no, sir, we haven't done that in over a year. And I went, well, good thing I hadn't been stopped before now. And it gave me a break. I didn't get a ticket, but I had to get my license right then. So now yours at least is in, it's close to your birthday.
It is by coincidence. It has nothing to do with that. It's just when I got my, I think it's 4 years from when you get yours.
Right, but most people, if you're in the same state where you got it, it's going to be around your birthday. You know, because usually you get your license when you turn 16.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And if you do that, I just remember it was a big deal when I turned 16, you know, you wanted to go get your license that day. And so it was always 4 years after that. and I didn't think about it. So now I have to remember to check every November, even though my birthday's in June.
Yeah, so I didn't until I didn't really bother with getting the license taken care of back here in Alabama until I had to register a car. So it took a little longer. But yeah, I think it's coincidence it's near my birthday, but it's 4 years from the moment I got my last one. And yeah, I was went ahead and took care of it.
I better check mine. Mine may be up this year.
Did not consider that I'd have to take a new picture. Thought they could just roll over the previous picture.
Oh, no. They will not do that.
And I've been wearing a hat all day, so I was a little bit worried. But I think it turned out okay. Like, it's not a...
not bad.
Yeah, it's not a bad picture of me. So I'll take it and let that ride as the driver's license picture for the next couple of years. But yeah, looking forward. Got the news today about the viewing window tomorrow. I don't know if you saw that.
No viewing window. Well, I mean, I thought about it during the second storm. I thought that the field is going to be sloppy.
Well, that's
why.
Well, kind of. They're explaining that they're moving. The field is the reason they're moving it to the indoor.
Right.
But then they also, I mean, they could have a viewing window inside the indoor.
Yeah, but you know what the viewing window was going to be? The viewing window was going to be warm-ups and drills before the scrimmage. Yeah. So there's really no purpose in us being able to see that.
And space is limited because, as Shelley mentioned in the email, several hundred Auburn lettermen
are going
to visit the scrimmage tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to pass along to anyone who had thought that, oh, we're going to get to see some of the scrimmage tomorrow. I was double-checking today, and it's like, no. The plan before the second rain was we would be able to see warm-ups and drills.
Oh, yeah. Were there people that thought we were going to get to see scrimmage?
Yeah, I think there were.
Okay.
And going to report on what they saw at the scrimmage. It's like, well, unless you're a letterman that's been invited, you probably wouldn't be able to do that.
And even then, I mean,
they're very specific about what...
Yeah, what you're supposed to... I did not expect to get to see...
Now, that'll clear up time for me to try to clean debris. My goodness.
Yeah.
It was a storm today.
Ooh, oh.
I've never seen... Did you get hail?
Yeah.
I had some pea to marble sized hail at the house.
Downtown Auburn, I drove, I went to get gas right after the.
Yeah, so did I. So yeah, did I, as a matter
so,
of fact.
So I went downtown to get gas right after the media.
I went to Tiger Town.
Right after the media opportunity. And I mean, it was. There were a couple of minutes. And I'll tell you who's got my deepest sympathy right now. I don't know the rush schedule, I don't know what event was planned for today. But driving to the media opportunity, Bill, so many girls in flowery dresses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of, it was a very, and they seemed dressed up, like it was sort of a fancy sort of occasion. I don't know where they were going or what the occasion was, but I hope everybody was able to get out of that storm okay, you know, and still camera ready, because it was 20, 30 minutes of hurricane force wind and rain in the Auburn area.
Oh, it was. I mean, I thought that the tornado siren had gone off. And then I realized that was the wind on my front porch. And I looked and we've got some ferns hanging on the front porch, and they were blowing in one direction while limbs out in the front of the yard were blowing in another direction. I mean, it was crazy.
I think a felled limb created a traffic situation right by my house. Over if you were like East University near the not too far from the Moores Mill bridge in that part of town, there was a serious traffic.
There were a couple of trees down. I mean, I would tell you how much rain my gauge had, but the gauge was lying beside the garage when I walked out. It had blown off, but it was still half full, which is an inch and a half. It was still holding an inch and a half.
James Spann got some pictures. I believe these are shelf clouds in Lochapoca during the storm. How apocalyptic does that look, Bill?
I'm serious. It was really, really scary.
I saw some of that on the horizon of Auburn, too.
The old duster was the most concerned when the hail was coming. And it sounded like there was machine gun fire up against the house.
So my parents are crazy. My parents have two dogs, Luke and Scout, and old Luke and young Scout. And old Luke was old Luke's been a pet his whole life. He was born, born as part of a litter. You know, some folks had and gave him away. So he's been in house his whole life. Scout was an orphan found on the streets of Selma at, you know, a couple, about a month and a half in. And Luke is absolutely terrified of fireworks and rain. And Scout,
fireworks and thunder.
Fireworks usually. And and well, but because of
the,
rain
doesn't bother my dog.
Well, rain because
but the first time it thunders, he freaks out.
Rain because it usually leads to thunder and lightning.
So, I can see that.
He doesn't take to rain well. Scout doesn't care at all.
But that was one that was an outdoor dog.
Yeah,
the one
that was found outdoors. Don't worry about that. But the indoor trappings, you know, he hates stairs. Right, like it's like that's the kind of stuff he hates. Yeah,
you ought to see. Because I went to take a shower before I came in today, and I'd let the dog in, and he never comes upstairs. I came out of the shower, and he was on the rug beside my bed. I mean, he'd come up
the
stairs.
It's a real storm. Oh, yeah. He needs to be.
Yeah, I hope everybody made it through. Anyway, so the point is, I hope everybody made it through with minimal damage. I mean, there are a lot of limbs and debris and some flooding in especially in low areas. Boy, I mean, it rained a lot. We've got a lot.
And this is a move-in weekend, too. You know, a lot of folks trying to move their kids in today or tomorrow.
Well, I mean, it looks like after this moves through, it's going to be much drier. Now, tomorrow is going to be a steam. The players are probably rejoicing that they're moving it indoor, because unless they run the heat in the indoor facility, it's going to be much more comfortable than it would be outside.
Is it?
Tomorrow, with all the water that is in the ground, when it hits the upper 90s, starts climbing into the 90s tomorrow, mid to late morning, it's going to be awful outside.
Here's what I can tell people after watching a couple of practices in that indoor facility, or getting to go in the indoor facility for at least a little bit of it.
Oh, man, it's nice.
Oh, I thought some of the details on the walls and the things they've done, the list of All-Americans, the list of retired numbers, the list of conference and SEC championship seasons, like those are all really cool details. The temperature control, like you said, Bill, they can get it down to very,
they can get it chilly.
They can get it, downright chilly when it's pushing triple digits outside.
With the doors open.
With the doors open and a lot of people in there, they can keep that thing very, very cool.
I asked someone, I wonder what their power bill is. Looking at my power bill, I wonder what their power bill is.
I wonder if they got the solar panels on the roof or something helping out.
Well,
I
hope so.
But then the doors, something else that hadn't occurred. So the field outside that sort of borders the indoor field is where they do a lot of special teams work.
Yeah, they're goalposts on near the doors and then on the far end. I mean, so kickers can kick either way, but to have multiple kickers kicking, some of those kicks are coming at the building.
And some of those kicks are coming at the building with some real mustard on them and slamming into the big glass garage door,
right,
or some of the larger panel windows that they've got there. And they said they've tested the strength of these windows, and I hope so, because those balls are slamming into.
Well, you heard the guy say they did it, tested it with jugs guns. He said he was talking with somebody else about it and said yes, they cranked them up as high as they would go and fired ball after ball after ball after ball after ball. Just imagine if you're inside, just go bam, bam. Just keep pounding.
Just imagine explaining what happened if one of those jugs balls goes right through.
There wasn't a team inside. I mean, it would just be like if there were someone inside back then. Hey, there is a lot for us to talk about. We've had great opportunities this week. We've had a couple of viewing windows and quite a few coaches and players. Today, five players, three of those transfers that we had a chance to talk to after the defensive coaches yesterday. So we've got a lot of audio we can let you listen to.
We got to talk to Camden Brown for 17 minutes. You got in on
yeah. Well, Dylan Wade was probably there for 15 to 20 minutes. I got about eight of it before I tried to move over and get a little of Austin Keys. I got to Austin Keys too late. I mean, I've got some audio from Austin Keys, but I don't know if it'll be the most.
Was there somebody before Dylan? Was there?
I talked to Justin. Rogers.
Justin Rogers.
Yeah, I've got a good bit of Justin Rogers as well. And then Jalen Simpson was there. as well. So we've got a lot of audio we can let you hear today.
And we didn't run any of the audio from the coaches yesterday.
No.
We had Justin Ferguson in the house. I thought Zach Etheridge was outstanding yesterday. I think people would want to hear Josh Aldridge. Like, some of the assistant coaches from yesterday were great, too. And with the scrimmage tomorrow, Crime Dog, Etheridge, and Aldridge all go into detail about what they want to see out of their different position groups in tomorrow's scrimmage. So maybe we run some of that.
We'll do that if we get the chance. Your calls come first as we get to our first break. Reminder, hour number one of the drive brought to you by the good folks at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can join us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. On the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. All that presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll get to our first break and be right back. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that 7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. We floated on in and got plenty of info for you. Today we spent some time with multiple players over at the Walt. And let's see, I'm trying to think a couple of the highlights.
When the questions were about Camden Brown, he struggled to, you know, I think he's a humble guy and doesn't want to come off too arrogant or too full of himself. When the questions were about the team or specifically other players on the team, Camden would really, like, he would gush about some of the guys that are having great off seasons, and it was cool to see. And I feel like that's probably a teammate you want. Right?
Yeah.
Is somebody who's going to, you know, really do what he can to gas up the other guys in the room and not really try to put the spotlight on himself very often.
Yeah, a couple of the things I thought were interesting, and again, it's usually, you know, guys talking about other players. Justin Rogers talking about the offensive line. He's really impressed. Now, one of the things he said early on is he thought Auburn had a chance to be one of the top three defenses in the SEC this year, and said he's got more talent around him than he's ever had at Kentucky. It's a deeper group there on the defensive front. And I asked him about the offensive line, and he said, man, Dylan Wade and Jeremiah Wright, they really bring the juice. He said, every day, they're very impressive. He's very impressed with how the offensive line has improved. He thought Auburn's offensive line is as good an offensive line as he's gone up against. Kentucky had a pretty good offensive line a couple of years ago, didn't they?
Well, not just that, but he's also been up against SEC offensive lines as a starter at Kentucky. And maybe he meant...
I think he meant every day in practice.
Even still, like you said, that's a Kentucky... I mean, the offensive line
Kentucky had a very highly touted offensive line year before last.
Well, the strength of Kentucky's offensive line, you remember that offensive line coach who passed away. I mean, the strength of Kentucky's offensive line for years under Coach Stoops was that offensive line and their ability to set things up on the ground and control the line of scrimmage. And so for Justin Rogers to say that about Auburn's new, you know, about an offensive line group that has a lot of new faces in it, I think that's promising as far as what you could see this season.
And, you know, we may get a chance to run Justin or Dylan Wade. Those are the two guys that I was at their table earlier. No surprise when Justin was asked about the youngsters. I mean, he went right to Keldrick Falk and said, man, he ain't supposed to be like that. He's not a freshman. He said he's a freak. He is a freak, and he is going to be great. Said he can't believe he's just 18.
Well, I think some of the guys who were here in the spring are really surprised with the physical development of Keldrick in the last 6 months as well.
I mean,
they remember the guy who arrived on campus. That was several Keldrick Falks ago, because now he's a strong side defensive end who doesn't look even a little bit undersized at the position.
Mm-hmm. So if we get a chance, we'll let you hear some of the players. But have you got the Zach Etheridge?
I think you got Zach ready to go. I think we got.
You know, just understand the they have to go. But just understand that this is Auburn football. I mean, it ain't finesse. It's hard nose. It's physical. We want to run and hit. We want to swarm the football. But they know that they got a strength. So they see it. We put some clips on the tape, what it looked like as an Auburn defense to go out there and play. But it don't matter what it is. Just go swarm the football and go run and hit and play with each other to your left and to your right.
Zach, I wanted to ask a little bit about last October. I mean, you know, they're looking for a new interim coach. Were you thinking like, oh, it might be me? And then just when you found out it was Cadillac, how'd that happen? And what were y'all's conversations like together as far as keeping this thing together?
Man, you know, it didn't matter who was in that seat. I mean, just in terms of I was extremely happy for Cadillac. You know what I mean? He's my brother. He did a phenomenal job of leading. And we rallied. We had a lot of meetings behind closed doors on how we can do it together. But his leadership and his excitement and being in that seat, you saw it every day. So, I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, I'm happy for him and his family. And you saw the team rally behind him. He's in the seat. Let's go, get behind Cadillac and go do the best thing we can do to make the Auburn family proud. And just to be able to see him in that seat and shine a little bit, man, it was a blessing for all of us because he had the opportunity that we was looking for to have. He did a fine job.
And for you guys to be here now, I mean, just how important do you reckon that cohesion is for you guys to, you know, been through it and still be here?
I mean, we've been through a lot. Yeah. I mean, we've been through a lot, not only just as coaches, though, but transition phase as players. I mean, we all been through transition phase. I'm pretty sure in Cadillac here, yet, you know, coordinators change here and there. And when I was here, I had head coaches changing, different coordinators as well in defense. And we've been through that before. So, I mean, one thing Coach Freeze talked about is don't blink, play the next play. So, for us on a day-to-day process, we didn't blink. But it was a great opportunity, and we're grateful for Coach Freeze feeling that we felt like we was representing the program in Auburn the right way. And we was recruiting at a high level, so it was important for him to keep us on staff, and we take pride in that.
How much easier is the transition when you have veterans like Jalen and Zion coming back at safety?
It definitely makes it a little bit easier because they have played a lot of ball. They have seen a lot of things thrown their way. Now it's just about, you know, getting their cleats in the ground, recognizing formation, improving that football IQ to be able to play faster. But their leadership, they're taking from as a player, they come into a player coach. You know what I mean? We call Zion Teach Tape 10. He's one of the greatest players back there, but he coaches all of them and telling that. But their leadership, they're having them all back. Not only them, DK's back, Marquise Gilbert is back, probably didn't play much, but they've been in the system a while. And they know the expectations that I'm expecting for them to be the quarterback of the defense. They make all the checks. So I make sure that they own that and take pride in that. And that's what I try to emphasize on them every day, to take that role.
Is there anything you thought from the spring this group really needed to improve on? And is there anything where you're really happy with what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing was just challenging them to strain. I mean, we're very talented. There's no question about how talented we are. But being able to strain and be elite and make people feel our presence on the field, not just in practice, but making sure that they feel us when we step on the field. We call ourselves the Jack Boys for a reason, because it's a brand of brotherhood and a brand of when we go on the field, we out here to make sure that we take pride and people feel us from a physical standpoint as along with that. So I've been really impressed to see them strain and communicate, and looking forward to they keep raising the roof every day to keep challenging the receivers, because the receivers are giving us some days that we got to be able to do because money's throwing everything at them. So making sure they just embrace that role, and I'm excited what I've seen so far.
Zach, you talked about Colton earlier. What has kind of impressed you about him so far this fall?
Man, Colton Hood is a workaholic. I mean, I haven't seen a guy from the time he stepped foot on campus, he's been eager to meet with myself and Coach Crime. And he shows up every day. He's one of the freshmen that's not afraid in the full defensive unit to raise his hand and ask a question, because it's important for him to know what he's doing. Not just, hey, coach, man, teach me why I'm doing it this way, how it's important. But any guy that can tell you, he's a guy that's working every day, and you see it on the film. I mean, today he had like two picks. So his transitioning from high school, he's kind of like a younger veteran, but he's trying to take the game to a high level so he can help this team in any way he can.
You talk about Sylvester Smith, too. What have you seen from him? What might his role be?
Man, Sylvester, I mean, obviously he's a smart kid. He take just trying to get him to don't wear his emotion on his sleeve. He's going to get it, embrace the process every day.
But for him, I mean, I bumped him up. He's running with the twos. Sometimes he's running with the ones and just trying to push guys, because the biggest thing is just getting him to play the next play and know what's going on. But very instinctive, very smart, very intriguing. Want to know. We'll call you at 10 o'clock at night. Coach, what I'm supposed to do? Take really good notes. So just to see his growth from day one to now, it's been good to see, along with all of them. But he's really trying to take that to the next level as far as learning the defense and show up every single day.
You talked about DK being back at safety. Obviously, you got Simp and Zion. Do you think you guys could utilize three or four, Marquise as well, three or four safeties in a primary rotation?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, if you know, at practice, you see these guys. I mean, we move them all around. But, I mean, we don't know. I mean, today, Keontae can go to corner. I mean, DJ go to nickel and put Keontae at safety, Caleb at safety. Because they're older guys. They can handle that movement. But really just making sure that, I mean, like I said, I don't see a ones and twos. I see guys that can go out and execute at a high level no matter who's in that position. They got to all raise to a level that we expect from a communication standpoint. And they all challenging those guys. I mean, DK every day is challenging himself to come to one spot, so they know they can't have an off day. So if they know they have an off day, that depth chart gonna change fast to see how they respond. So that's the beauty about having depth in the room and having guys that don't play a lot of ball behind each other.
Along the lines of the question about Cadillac,
yep.
With you and Coach Davis and Coach Cadillac, you have a couple of former Auburn players on the staff. Do you get the sense that it's meaningful for the players to be playing for someone who was in their shoes and played their position and has now moved on to the level of coach?
I mean, anytime you players can see that a coach that done went out on the field and done what they done, because they want to get to that level, they understand what Cadillac has been through, they understand what I've been through. And we ain't the only three. Marcus have done great things as well. We ain't the only three in the building. I mean, it's a lot of guys in support role that can help them on and off the field as coaches when we on the road. So it's just those three on the full time, but there's a lot of guys in the outfield and the support role that's helping these guys day-to-day process on being able to adjust to what an Auburn man is supposed to be and what that looked like from the day-to-day process. And they all embrace that because they come pick our brain. They want to know what we know, and they ask those questions every day when it comes to questions on campus. I mean, to this day, I mean, I still can't explain how to get around the Haley Center. And they ask that what quadrant I'm supposed to be in. So we have to talk about that just to get them adjusted on what that's supposed to be like. But it's good to have that knowledge, and good something that they can relate to with things that we have experienced at Auburn and what made it great for us.
What's it like to recruit the child of a former teammate? Because there are some Auburn legacies coming up. You don't have to name names, right?
Yeah.
There's some Auburn legacies coming up.
Yeah.
And you recognize the names. It's like, well, they were on a roster with Cadillac.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, is that an interesting situation?
It really is, because, I mean, we talk about that all the time. I mean, with a lot of players that's coming up, they bring their kids to practice and they can talk to them about the stories on what is. But the beauty about that is they know who we are as people more so than somebody's trying to recruit them. So when we come in, we got to recruit them just like anybody that we don't know them, because most parents like myself, I'm not going to tell my child where to go because I did that. They want to educate them. Obviously, deep down, you're thinking, hoping that they do choose Auburn, but recruiting the same way. I mean, just like you don't know them, but the relationships build a little bit deeper, the conversation build a little bit deeper of what it is. A lot of those guys are asking because they're getting that feel now that Auburn is feeling like it was when we was in school. So that's always a testament to what Coach Freeze have done to get the community involved. It just feels really good.
How has Auburn changed or stayed the same? Because Tyler Fromm was in here the other day. He's like, it's fifth year, and he's like, feels like I've transferred three times.
Yeah.
By being here. Because he's talking about, you know, coach change, but also like NIL and then moving into this building. But I guess how have you seen it change since you've been back? Or also, how's it still the same?
It's just a different era of what's going on. The beauty about it, man, like we talk about, I think it's a alignment of starting from the top to make it feel that way. A guys on the same page, communication from administration to the football to basketball, all that stuff. So it makes it feel like we got a direction that we're going in. I mean, since I've been here, it felt like Auburn has changed in multiple ways, but it's really about the people. It's about the culture and what it's supposed to be like, and people who believe in what we're trying to do as a community and an organization, and more importantly, the family piece on what it should be like.
are younger defensive backs more ready to play right away than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago in the college game? Do you feel like now guys are coming in and more familiar with what's expected of them from day one?
Well, I think a lot of that, I mean, guys are bigger, stronger, faster now coming out of high school. They're a little bit developed because they play 7-on-7 year-round. But the body has changed. The speed of the game has changed. Most of them come in, they understand what's going on from a schematic system, but it is a workload of being able to – the volume of defense on what they're not used to coming from high school. That's the biggest challenge in transferring. But physically, they're ready. Mentally, it's a challenge for all of them to come in. But they're talented. And that's the thing that we want to lean on is like, hey, use your talent, use your speed. But more importantly, they just need to be ready and learn every day to embrace the process. It's not going to happen overnight. And as long as they can get their mind to transition that this is not going to happen overnight and just work on getting better day by day, then obviously they will see themselves improve. But right now it's a different day and age, right? Everybody want it right now. Right? They become the man in high school, out of high school, to the bottom of the totem pole in college. It's hard for some guys to be able to adjust that. So we do a good job of telling that and keeping it real in recruiting. We got guys that's in here that done played a lot. You have an opportunity to go take their job, but it's how fast you learn the defense and how fast you show up in the process every day to go take their job.
Good. Exactly.
Absolutely.
In Big 12 and Pac 12. Let's see, at home, Auburn will play an exhibition game against AUM November 1st. Then at Neville Arena, we'll host Southeastern Louisiana November 10th, Alabama A&M on the 21st, Virginia Tech November 29th, USC, and that ought to be fun. USC coming in on December 17th, Alabama State December 22nd, Chattanooga on December 30th, and then Penn on January the 2nd. Now we know who all Auburn's playing for the entire season.
We thought there was going to be a trip to Georgia State on the schedule. I think that had been announced last year, but I'm guessing they pushed that back a year just with everything else on Auburn's schedule. But yeah, no, a challenging schedule with some quality teams. VTech as another one.
I mean, and then of course the game's not at Neville. Baylor, that one, of course, in South Dakota, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Notre Dame, that is November 7th, by the way. November 16th in Brooklyn against Notre Dame. They've got, they play Notre Dame and the winner of Oklahoma State and the Bonnies of St. Bonaventure on the 16th and 17th. And then Indiana in Atlanta on December 9th. And UNC Asheville, that's the Huntsville game, right?
Yes, I believe. The one in Rocket City.
Yeah, so that is, there is your non-conference schedule, and that's pretty challenging. I mean, there are a couple of games people will go, oh well, you're sure going to win that one. There aren't that many though.
No, but
then you go, oh, that's a cakewalk.
Well, like the game against Asheville. I mean, that's a tournament team from
yes,
the Big
is.
South, and I think a game like that is great practice to get a team ready for what could be expected of them in the postseason. Neutral sites, unusual styles, the kind of team that you don't see in the SEC on a regular basis. Different styles of play. So yeah, I think it's a smart schedule. Maybe one of the more challenging schedules an Auburn men's basketball team has ever attempted, as far as who they've got. We were saying this, even with the uncertainty around Bronny James, and I do think that if Bronny James is unable to play this season, it does take a little bit of the attention away from USC, because I think that was a big reason why people were so invested in this year's USC team, that the son of LeBron James being on the team. But I still think that USC will be a very highly regarded preseason team. They've assembled a super talented roster. That's one of, if not the, Bill. I mean, the USC game is one of the biggest out of conference games.
Oh, it is.
That's ever been scheduled at Neville Arena. Maybe not. I mean, Washington was in the top 25.
Yeah, USC could be a top 10.
USC could be in the top 10. I don't think a top 10 team has ever come out of conference to Neville, Arena before. I mean, you had
we talked about it before. I mean, you had UNLV at the Coliseum.
You had UNLV at the Coliseum. You had a good Washington team come here in the top 25, but not in the top 10. I think Syracuse came. I don't know if they were that was Washington. It was the Syracuse assistant, but there was did Syracuse come here too? Am I thinking of Washington?
I'm blanking on it if they did.
Washington had the coach who was at Syracuse for a really long time, so I might just be getting those two things confused. But no, the USC game would be one of the biggest games ever played at Neville Arena to this point, especially if USC is as advertised in the preseason. Notre Dame in New York City. Bill, I think there are going to be a ton of Auburn folks going to
Brooklyn,
the games in Brooklyn against Notre Dame.
That's
that should be a really good time for folks for Auburn who live up in the Northeast.
And sticking with basketball, Flory Badunga is going to make his announcement tomorrow night. And today, I've seen a couple of folks who were fairly confident, more than fairly confident, were very confident earlier this week that he was going to announce that he was going to Duke, that are now saying they think he's going to sign or going to commit to Auburn.
Yeah, it would be a Flory Badunga, the is it Indianapolis? It's like it's Kokomo High School up in Indiana. I don't know exactly where Kokomo, Indiana, is located. I think I'd heard that it was like suburban Indianapolis, but they're the big man out of Kokomo, pursued by some of the biggest programs in college basketball, would be a major get.
Oh, it would be a huge get for Bruce Pearl. I mean, most people, his final four were Duke, Kansas, Auburn, and Michigan, with most people feeling Duke or Kansas. And you've had those two fan bases back and forth with, we're going to get him, no, we're going to get him. I had not heard anyone really, outside Auburn hopefuls saying Auburn's going to get him until the last 24 hours or so, when some of those Duke and Kansas folks aren't so sure anymore, and they're thinking, well, maybe Auburn, that team that has sort of been there the whole time but never really been considered. You know, if you're Duke or you're Kansas, you're thinking that other blue is the concern. And
turns
maybe
out there's a third blue that you got to be a little bit worried about. So, yeah, the Badunga is the number four player in the class, according to the 24/7 composite. He has been, like you said, he's been pursued heavily by, among others, Michigan, Duke, and Kansas, along with Auburn. Averaged 20 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks a game, and would be... he would be, if he picked Kansas, how about this, Bill? If he picked Kansas, he would be the third highest rated commit to Kansas in school history.
They've had a couple of guys that were fairly highly touted.
That is a program.
Golly,
that,
no kidding.
Stop me if I'm wrong. That is a
They've
top.
Only signed two guys that were in the top three in the nation.
But that's a top five program over the last 40 years.
That's a top overall time.
Yeah. And this would be one of the, and this guy that Auburn's hoping for. And again, for folks who maybe, like, if your frame of reference is just Auburn men's basketball being a successful program that lands players with NBA ceilings, like it may not floor you, but I mean this guy would be one of the biggest recruits Kansas basketball history. Yeah. And there's a chance Auburn swoops in tomorrow and gets a commitment out of him.
We'll see. That's something else that folks will be paying attention to tomorrow. Hey, there's also a football commitment that folks will be watching. TJ Lindsey is announcing tomorrow, too.
Badunga's originally from the Congo, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned it. Yeah, Congolese.
No, we didn't mention that.
Yeah, but the Congo native who was perceived as a one-and-done. He's somebody who, Kansas and Duke both have been crazy after, and maybe Auburn can move in and make a play for him instead. Who's the other one? Who's the player you just mentioned?
Oh, I mentioned TJ Lindsey, the defensive lineman that's going to announce tomorrow. All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Get set.
We're just discussing what audio we can run for you in hour number two. Before we get to Jake Crane at the bottom of the hour, Jake joining us this week after, you know, having something come up and not being able to be with us on Tuesday. Of course, Monday, Brian Matthews will be in here, and we'll talk about anything we picked up from whoever we can. You know, players, observers,
Hugh Freeze.
Coach Freeze, yeah. About the scrimmage Saturday. Will tomorrow, now that they've moved it inside, does that change your mind? Does that make it tougher for Hugh Freeze to go ahead and stick to his original 10 days? He's going to be down to two quarterbacks.
Are there things in a scrimmage that they can't do because they're
not
in the
really
indoor?
I would think they'd be able to.
I mean,
the
quarterback timeline has always seemed, you know, it seemed tough with all three guys playing well to try to narrow it down to two quickly. So yeah, I don't know if it impacts the timeline as much as some of the other factors might impact the timeline, but it's going to be. I mean, we think we're within the week. Auburn will have narrowed this quarterback battle to two.
Will they tell us? I mean, maybe it'll be narrowed tomorrow, and we just won't know.
Will we be able to tell watching practice?
Until we look, oh wait, that's so and so running scout team. Right. All right, we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. We've got more player coach audio. We'd love your audio. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, as we head into hour number two of the Friday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Hope you'll join in. We've got another hour to go. Reminder that Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Normally with us on Tuesdays, couldn't make it then, so he's rescheduled for today. And we're looking forward to talking with Jake here this afternoon as Auburn gets ready for its first scrimmage. Now, there's been a change. Auburn will scrimmage tomorrow, but they're moving inside to the indoor facility. The main reason is because of all the rain. I mean, we had a lot of rain today. You look outside and the skies look pretty good now. And I think the rain is gone. And in a few days, we may be begging for it to be back. If you look at the forecast for the next few days, it is upper 90s and heat indices in the 110 range.
Like three-fifths of the starting rotation is injured, right? But we're praying for rain.
That's right. Spawn insane and pray for rain. That goes back a couple of minutes, but yeah, because of all the rain, the field over at Jordan-Hare, I mean, it does a great job of draining, but this much rain in such a short amount of time, and them to try to scrimmage tomorrow morning, could cause a lot of damage to the field and could also be dangerous for players trying to make cuts. So they're going to scrimmage in the indoor facility, and the news affects the media a little as well. We were going to have a viewing window, I believe, really before the scrimmage got going. But that has now been canceled because there are lettermen. They're expecting at least 100 lettermen. And because of the space or lack thereof, they're in the indoor facility for the team and that many other folks. We'll get Coach Freeze following the scrimmage tomorrow mid to late morning. So, but the scrimmage still going on, and it's an important scrimmage because so many players have been competing, multiple positions with jobs on the line. Maybe not all start, maybe not necessarily starting jobs, but I mean there are a lot of players pushing to be in the two deep.
Well, there are rotations that need to get smaller, right? Like there are groups right now where it's just not effective for guys that have been here more than 1 year that you look at and you say, oh, they're not getting a lot of playing time this year. Like there's a lot of competitions, there's right? a lot of spots where now that could change. in a week, it could become more clear who's not going to be, who's not having a strong fall camp, who's not in line for playing time right now. Like, as we get closer to the season, it'll become more obvious. Right now, I mean, this first scrimmage, part of the reason it's so interesting is because you have so many contenders for these spots at different positions.
Yeah, one thing that is a little bit of a shame is they're not going to be out there in the, you know, out there on the field at Jordan-Hare. Even though it's not packed with fans, a lot of times, especially for some young guys that haven't had that opportunity, things change. Some step up and play even better. Others show that they are still a little green and need a little more time. I wonder, you know, they just can't feel as intimidating to be there in the indoor practice where they've been many times already working out this fall to be scrimmaging as compared to being out on the field at Jordan-Hare.
First time they're going to be doing stuff with contact, though, right?
Like, they've had a little contact.
First tackles, this will be the first time. I know it was Aldridge telling us, tackling was one of the things he's really paying attention to
right
in this scrimmage on Saturday, because I don't know how much they've gotten to do of that.
There hasn't been much, if any, full 11-on-11 contact.
Right, so I wonder if the moment they're out there in full pads and someone slams into somebody else, if it starts to feel like a real football game, or at least something different than what they've been doing for the first week plus of the offseason.
Now, we have audio from players and coaches from the last couple of days. We'd love to hear from you. Love for you to tell us, you know, what you'd like to find out from the scrimmage tomorrow, or anything else on your mind sports wise. But while we don't have any calls, we can run some more audio.
Yeah, you know what? We have Dylan Wade and Bill and I. So, in part because Jalen Simpson and Austin Keys and Justin Rogers are all awesome and they all did great today. I was more interested in talking to the offensive players today because we had defensive coaches yesterday.
Right.
And we got a lot of great information out of the position coaches. And so, we've got Dylan Wade. We've got Camden Brown. Thought we could run some of both those. We had Dylan Wade queued up right now, Auburn's new left tackle. Bill, you got to talk to Dylan Wade.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that is critical. I mean, he, again, will be protecting the blind side of whoever the starting quarterback is. And he is someone that has seemingly locked down his starting spot there at the left tackle.
I was original.
All ready? Well, Dylan, just open up. Tell us how practice has gone for you so far.
The beginning of the fall camp was, you know, sort of rough. We were knocking the dust off and getting adjusted to playing in the heat again. But now everything is starting to roll along and come together.
Sure. How's your Auburn experience so far for you?
I mean, I love it here. Everything here is special. Since the moment I came on the visit, I was welcomed, open arms. Everyone here is so loving. The coaches, the staff, the players, even the fans. I can walk around and say, "War Eagle." They'll say, "War Eagle back."
Dylan, Justin was talking about you guys saying specifically, you and Jeremiah really bring the juice. Just give us your thoughts on how the O-line's coming along.
The O-line, it's coming along pretty well, you know. A bunch of pieces from different places coming together to form one unit. And we have to work together, you know, talk with each other, figure things out. And the more we communicate, the better we get. As far as me and Jeremiah bringing the juice to practice, we should for sure bring the juice, you know. When we're together, oh, yeah, you better get out the way. Get out the way.
How much are you looking forward to scrimmaging and getting in the stadium tomorrow?
Well, scrimmage is always cool. To me, I look at it another day to get in the lab, you know, and work. So it'll just be another work day for me tomorrow. Sure.
How quickly do you feel like you guys have come together as an offensive line? How much farther do you guys feel like you need to go?
Okay. Well, spring was a little rough. Fall camp, we've came together quite lovely, I would say. We're almost there, like a little bit more, like a little more communication, a little bit more technique, and we're almost there.
What are you looking forward to just transitioning into the SEC? You get a taste of it now, and then you'll get it this season, but do you feel like you're ready for the challenge?
Yeah, ready for the SEC. I feel like, you know, football is football no matter how you put in the trenches. I mean, SEC football is going to have, you know, different athletes from different places, but at the end of the day, it's just football. Yes, sir.
Dylan, tell me about the competition at two guard position. What's your take on that so far?
Could you repeat that?
Competition at both the guard positions right now.
The competition, you know, that spot is kind of open. So I love watching them battle every day, every practice, getting better. And they're getting it done, surely. Man, it's something to watch, I would say.
Yeah, you feel like you guys as an offensive line are starting to form that kind of camaraderie that you need for a season?
Yes, sir, of course. Like, one thing I'll say, as much as you are together on the field, you have to be together off the field. And we all, you know, go out to eat and hang out with each other, watch film together, and bond, build things, relationships.
What's it like to have Muskie here?
That's my boy, man. You know, we went to Tulsa together out of high school. You know Muskie for three and a half years. So him being here, it's kind of like a little home feeling. Like, you know, I love Tulsa, but kind of brought Tulsa with me. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
For people that haven't seen him, what kind of player is he?
Oh, Muskie's a dog. He's a dog. He'll, you know, off the field, Muskie's not going to really say too much. He's kind of quiet. But on the field, when he put the helmet on, yeah, he's going to get after you every play, every rep.
I mean, we've seen him. Yeah, he's played multiple positions. We've seen him at tackle. We've seen him at guard. He just move everywhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can look at the feet, man. He can play anything on the field. Well, any position on the offense.
Okay, I was like, we ain't ready to put a running back on it.
That would be something.
For you, how's the transition been since the spring? You know, once you got it kind of jumped in, new system, all those things. How have you transitioned over the summer now to, as you get into fall?
Okay, in summer. I was a little raw, trying to play with athleticism. Now in fall camp, we're focusing more on techniques. And my technique has definitely improved. Learning how to stay lateral and square. Coach Thornton is doing a good job teaching us all to stay square and not give up our edge. I guess play football.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is there
more pressure on you as a transfer? Do you feel any higher expectation as a transfer coming in, feeling like they brought me in to be an immediate contributor? Do you feel any of that pressure, or is it just like you were here all along, or what?
Yeah. Coming in, I feel like I belong here, so it was like I was going to do the same thing at the last institution, so it was like, I'm going to come in and do the same thing I've already been doing. So. I really didn't feel any pressure. It was more like, you know what you have to do. It's not, like, they have no pressure.
We hear a lot over and over about, like, strain, like, the conditioning aspect. Just kind of what has that been like for you? You know, how has that, you know, kind of come together for you? Just your thoughts on just kind of that word strain, what it means in this program.
Strain in form of conditioning?
Yeah, I mean, just how you guys, like I said, we hear it a lot, just how you guys use it here in this program.
Okay, strain is like finishing the rep, and as far as conditioning wise, is like, you know you have like two stations to get through. You got to go every rep 100%, even when you're tired, you look over, your friend's breathing hard, you motivate each other, and you strain to finish. That's where the strain coming from. You're giving your all. If your body's telling you stop, keep going, you don't stop, you just keep going.
Is this tempo in practice what you're used to, or is it even ramped up a little bit more?
Oh, we're moving a little faster for sure.
Yeah, as an offense, do you guys feel like that gives you an edge when you get into a season if you're able to do that?
Yes, sir, of course. I feel that we'll catch a bunch of defenses lacking, not able to get their calls off, so we'll catch a bunch of D linemen just standing up, and we'll get some nice calls and, you know, get away.
From your perspective, who is standing out? You guys are trying to build depth. Who are some guys that are standing out to you? When you're off and you're watching these other groups go through, who's sort of catching your eye?
Okay. I like Xavier and Tutal Miller. My roommate, I love watching him. Kondalu is going to be great. I like watching him too. EJ Harris, yeah, I could see the potential he has. Really, our O-linemen are pretty amazing. I watch every last one of them, and I see something special in them.
What have you seen from Senda? I mean, just got here a couple of days before you guys started. What have you seen from him?
Dylan. Okay. Dylan, when he came in, he was at left tackle. Technique is perfect, dog. Can't say perfect. He has very great technique, I would say. Transferring in from Northwestern,
He has some skills for sure. He's so young, though, 18 years old. He came in, I thought he was older than he was. He like came and adjusted to the O-line pretty quick. We just have to give him some plays, but he'll be pretty good for us in the next few years.
So when you think about
from
football
offensive
position
lineman,
groups, yeah, the line of scrimmage,
you know,
is rarely,
you know. And I'm not going to call Dylan a big ugly because he's quite a handsome young man. But I mean, that was interesting.
The next time we talk to Don Dunn, we'll ask him how often he described things as lovely.
Lovely
when he was when he was out there on the sideline.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. You're welcome to join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. If we don't have calls, we'll play you some more audio when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, guys. 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And we'll continue running some audio from players we had a chance to spend a little time with.
Kevin, I guess just how has the preseason been for you overall? How much you look forward to the scrimmage?
It's been going very, very great. I mean, I'm excited to see, like, everything you do. I'm very, very excited for this offense. I love the offense. Everything is fast, tempo. Everything is easy to learn. It's just great environment for sure. The receiver room is, we all together in many, many ways. Like, we just brothers all together. Like, we get why we all here. That's what it is.
I know in the spring they were throwing a lot at you guys quickly to get the new offense. Where do you feel like you are now? Do you feel like everybody is more comfortable in the system?
Everybody is very, very much more comfortable in this situation. But it got hit as fast. But we got hit fast last year with a lot of curveballs. We definitely adapted well.
The tempo you talked about has been, it seemed really, like, how have you guys adjusted to that in practice, and especially now that we're more than a week in, do you feel like, how is that high tempo with the offense and the practice, so now that you're a week in? You mentioned that earlier, just how have you been adjusting to that so far?
That's been adjusting good, especially with our conditioning. Like, that's just like, that's just top tier, like, on how we got to get fast, look to the sideline very, very fast. This is how it is. It's very, very fast for sure.
I imagine that summer of just conditioning, being in the weight room, probably that's kind of how it pays off, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. It starts with communication, and in this offense, you got to communicate a lot because it's so fast. And if somebody don't see the signal, you just got to pair up and adjust and adapt to it for sure.
Also, I guess in terms of the offense being so fast, it's been, at least from what we've seen, a ton of rotation at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. What has it been like being in a wide receiver room where everyone seems to be getting their, you know, getting a chance to contribute with so many guys who maybe can?
Like, I see everybody is here for a reason. Everybody is here to compete. We all together, so it's never nothing to it. Just we ready to compete, ready to go. And Coach Davis attack us with competition every day in the room. So we'll get up, draw plays. It's just, that's just how it is in this culture for sure.
Anyone stood out so far?
Everybody stood out. Even the walk-ons, like, that's just how it is. Like, everybody is just standing out to me right now for sure. There's no names to really point out, but for sure everybody like standing out to me because we all coming together for sure.
I know you dealt with something, a little injury in the spring. You feeling 100% now?
I'm feeling great. I'm really focused on my hamstring right now. Just getting healthy for sure. It's my point where I'm at right now. But I'll be out there tomorrow for sure. Yeah.
Where do you feel like you've improved this offseason? Like, where do you feel like your game has gotten better?
I say definitely learning the offense faster, being more comfortable in every area, every areas for sure. Learning the defense, like, knowing everything coming at me for sure. Just learning cats, like a cornerback cat. Learning traps, like, that's just what I have learned over the years when Ike was here, Coach Davis was here now. this is all we talk about is the certain defenses that's going to be thrown at you. And I feel like that's something that I, like, took my time out of and feel like that'll improve my game to, like, because everything is choice routes. So it's like, dang, like, if this defense get thrown at me, I can run that route. And that's just how it is, for sure.
Your impressions of how the transfer wide receivers have sort of fit in so far, Caleb, Nick, Jair, and Shane?
Yeah. They are impressed with all of them. We did a lot of red zone yesterday, and them boys head tapping. I'm like, dang, like, yeah, I'm ready to get back out there and head tap too. So I'm just excited for all them boys to, like, we all together, and I'm just excited for all that, for sure.
We've seen and heard a lot about Caleb. What does he bring in y'all specifically as an offense and that receiver?
Oh, I love his routes. He's very, very smooth, for sure. But he's gonna bring a lot of asset around this offense, for sure.
Coach Montgomery mentioned that Caleb been using the Monarch machine. Yeah. I read the article about last summer. Yeah. We just picked that up, the Robo QB.
Yeah.
What's the Monarch like?
I be having difficult times on it, so I'm pretty like an old school guy. So like I be on the jug, just getting jug machines. That's something difficult to get. But Monarch is like I try to use it about a couple of times, but that's attacking, like that's high tech for sure. But Caleb always used that machine. I be like, dang, Caleb, you ain't gonna never get out. Like, he'd be up here like 9 o'clock at night just on the Monarch. I'm like, he tripping. Like, why you on the Monarch? Like, why you just can't call a quarterback or something?
The day that Jarquez returned to practice, it seemed like there was great energy all around. People were coming over, welcoming him back. Just what can you say about having him around?
Jarquez is a great dude, and he just, you feel me? Like, he just a great dude. He a great dude to be around. It's always very, very high energy when he's around, because he always got a smile on his face, always approved, like, helping other people getting better, like the running back room, such as Mari, Batty, Sean, even the walk-ons get better. Like, I love seeing Justin Jones, and he's a walk-on. I love seeing him going out there and attacking the hole. I'd be like, dang, he look like Quez on that play, for sure. And I feel like that's what Quez is good at, like, making other people around him better. And such as Damari. Like, Damari, like, that's like my best friend. And, like, every time you see him, you probably see me. So, like, he helped people, like, he helped people in the room get better as well. And his leadership role has got way, way better. It's something we talk about every day.
Where have you seen improvement in Damari's game this offseason? Because people have been talking about what a strong offseason he's
had. I mean, I see all his training. So, like, I love his jump cuts. Like, that's crazy. Like, how he be, he always running low. And then, like, that's exciting me. Like, he breaking every tackle. And I like Mari. Like, everybody know, like, I stand with him for sure.
Kendall, what have you seen out of quarterbacks? And do you think tomorrow in the stadium is going to be big for them?
I mean, they all play in a high level. So, I love all the quarterbacks. Peyton is a good dude. Robbie has been better. And he's getting better and better every single day. Peyton getting better every single day. Just improving on levels. Holden getting better. Like, I love Holden because he's in my class. And we came in together, so I be on him, he be on me. That's where all the quarterbacks be on me when I'm not doing good. When I need to be picking up, like, all of them, like, just run up to me. Just, okay, Cam, you gotta get better at this. And that it's just a step by step thing. Like, over the summer, we've been getting out there like every day, and I feel like that's what this offense it helped us, because in the summer we was just doing all like a lot of tempo stuff in the summer without the coaches on the field, and I feel like that the leadership with the quarterbacks have gotten way, way better with just holding us all accountable without us not even saying anything back. And I just feel like the accountable level here has just been great.
Is there anything about them that maybe some people don't see? Like, you know, everybody on the outside is like, oh, Robbie can run this and that. But, like, is there anything that maybe is a secret or something that they don't see or don't talk about enough?
Yeah, a lot of people talk about Robbie running ability, but he's a great playmaker when it's time. He's great. He's a good dude. He keep improving every day. Peyton, I didn't know he was that fast, yeah. But he be getting out of it for sure. Holden, he's very, very accurate. I'm talking about any ball you need, like he's is there. But the quarterbacks I have been seeing lately, they've been good. Like they never been high, they never been too low. They've been in the middle lately, and like all of them composed. And I just love seeing them go for sure.
What have you seen with Robbie? And because you've worked with him for obviously a while now, kind of in his throwing from last year maybe to right now, with what's improved the most?
Him just being more relaxed and comfortable, okay. For sure. Him just staying on top of his work ethic for sure.
I guess in terms of just really just like pass catching, have you seen an ability of him to kind of just like place the ball more accurately? Kind of like you mentioned, Holden is like can get you any pass. How does Robbie get to that?
Oh yeah, his deep balls are been getting very, very sure. Better. Like his corner, he threw a corner at the Vado and. That jump was like, I was like, whoa. Yeah, like that was really, really good for sure. And his deep ball has been getting improved, and that's just what it is.
And then now that you have Peyton kind of in practice, you mentioned over the summer you work with them without the coaches, obviously. Now that you get him actually in the facility, helmets on, everything, what have you thought of him, and how has that connection maybe grown over the course of fall camp?
He's been getting very, very good. He communicates well. Like he tell you how he want things run, and I feel like that's a great ability of him. He's smart. Like he's a smart quarterback. And I don't see why Michigan State people be sleeping on him. Like I love him as a person as well too. He's a good dude.
How much did it help you Cam to get that year to play as many snaps as you played last year to ease your transition into year two?
That helped me very, very good with anything. It's just like getting more comfortable. I'm just thankful for last year because that taught me how to just go play faster, have confidence in what you're doing, and just getting going. And I feel like last year was very, very great for me because I got comfortable. I didn't have to experience it this year, so I just feel great.
How do you see yourself improving, taking that next step? What are things that you're wanting to improve on in year two?
Just better routes for sure. Getting more comfortable out of my breaks, but I feel like I've been getting all that better. So I feel like my speed been getting better. Just being more relaxed, but I feel like that's been getting way, way better lately.
Both Coach Freeze and Coach Montgomery have had offenses that really threw the ball a lot. Can you tell that they emphasize the passing game when you practice?
Yeah. We just work on the little details on everything, and that's just with anything. Like I love those guys as in like they focus on the little things first before we even run the routes. Like we could run like a slant and they'll tell you like stay, have it go flatter than what it is, and I just feel like that's what those guys great at. Like they tell you like the little details in the route, like what need to be done before this route can be completed.
What do you tell people about Coach Davis? Just your impressions of him so far.
Coach Davis, good dude. He from Boynton. That's where I'm close to for sure. So like we know everybody, and I know everybody that he knows. So like that just good dude for sure. Always high energy. You'll see him running. He probably be cramping. He probably be careful while celebrating. He's just a good dude all over.
What have you seen from Jay Fair? Just kind of his development.
Oh, Jay Fair is a good dude. His personality always stands out for sure. He's just been getting more and more mature every day. Just getting all his routes. His routes has always been great. His confidence though have reached higher than last year. Cause I remember coming in, he was on Oregon Road. Before me, he was always second guessing stuff. But now he just like this. Like he comfortable. And I feel like that's great for him. And I'm ready to see him rock and roll for sure.
Does that confidence kind of come from you guys saying, hey, buddy, like, you can do this? Yeah. Or, like, I mean, just how have you seen that progress, and where does that come from, you think, for him?
Yeah, I feel like when you're a freshman, I just feel like some people don't be ready, like it's a new environment. Some people don't adjust and adapt. And I feel like he have adjusted and adapt very, very well, and I feel like that's where his confidence comes from.
How much do you work with the tight ends, and what have you seen from those guys this offseason so far?
We work with the tight ends every day. Vado, which is somebody I be with every day. Micah has grown in tremendous ways, and I can't wait to see Micah and Vado. I feel like that's the little duo in this little passing game, for sure. I see Tyler Frum, Luke Dale, all those guys gonna be real, real good for us, a great part of our offense for sure. They've been playmaking for sure. Brandon Frazier, he been great. I think yesterday he had head tapped somebody. Vado, that's expected, with him head tapping somebody. Micah has been coming along for sure, head tapping people. That's just great. Like, I can't wait. Like, they are very, very explosive players for sure.
Is head tapping the word of camp for you guys for the receiver room?
Yeah, even bumming people. We'll be like, I need you. And then if they catch it, whole lot of blurring for sure.
We saw that video of Simp getting the pick, and the coaches had said to bring the ball. how when you hear them telling the defenders to bring the ball, how much does that motivate y'all to stop them from doing that?
Yeah, I feel like I think after he threw a pick, I think we had Winnett him, and Simp been growing for sure. From switching to safety, I feel like he been getting real, real good at what he's doing. I love all the DBs. DBs have been good, and they. Just having one of the top DBs that we have on the team, I feel like they make us great. Like, I feel like without them, we probably wouldn't be where we at. It's a confidence level, just getting after it every day. And I feel like it's a competitive level but it's all love at the end of the day for sure.
Yeah, for sure. When you kind of think of your goals for this season, and you talked about what you're improving on. Obviously, you guys have a lot of different contributors in the room, but you yourself, what would your goals be for your second year in the program?
My goals is obviously start this year for sure. Obviously, being a better role, helping my teammates win. Obviously, like being a better leader, which I am, but being a better leader for my teammates. Just knowing my roles and the routes and. My goal is definitely to win a championship. Even if I don't win it this year, before I even get out of here, like, I got to win a championship. Because I've always been a winner at St. Thomas, and I won two state championships. My also goal is to beat Bama. I gotta beat Dallas Turner for sure. Like, that's my boy. I got to beat him for sure. Like, that's my boy. Just being a champion for sure. 1,000 yards is going to come with the Lord himself, so I don't want to make that as a goal. I feel like that's going to just happen.
Good deal. Appreciate it, Cam.
Thanks, Cam. Great job.
Appreciate it.
Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive, final half hour here on this Friday afternoon with Bill and Dan. And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Welcome in. He's normally with us on Tuesdays, but had something going Tuesday, couldn't be with us. We're very pleased that he rescheduled, and we now have Jake Crane joining us from Crane & Company. Hey, Jake, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. It's Friday. We're getting close to kickoff for college football, so I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, Auburn's got their first scrimmage tomorrow. Now, I wanted to ask you this. It's been moved inside because we had a couple of thunderstorms today and got an awful lot of rain. And as the second one was coming through and my rain gauge was overflowing, I was thinking, field's not going to be in great shape tomorrow over at Jordan-Hare. I know it handles water very well. But when you get this much rain all at once and you're going to try to get on there the next morning, you run the risk of doing damage to the field and to some joints. So they're moving it inside. My question, I wonder how much different is that going to make it for especially the younger players who've never had a chance to get out there, or the new guys who've never had a chance to get out there on the field at the stadium? Because for some guys, that is a big step. Some of them step up to it and really can handle it. Others, can prove that they're still, a little green.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a mixture of injury prevention, because, the amount of money that Auburn spends to keep that thing where it needs to be, and I'm sure nobody would have a problem with fixing it, for the first game. But it's more about the process of the players knowing, the young guys that haven't played there before, that you're going to be playing in the stadium, then going out there, getting used to the field surface, kind of getting used to the spacing. Now, you can't recreate. I know they pump crowd noise in sometimes, but you can't recreate exactly what it's going to be like on game day. So it's a smart move. It's definitely heavy on the injury prevention side, especially as close as we're getting to kickoff. And Auburn's still building depth. And, you look across not only the country but the Southeastern Conference, Florida loses one of their best pass rushers in Justice Boone. LSU loses one of their best DBs in J.K. Johnson, the Ohio State transfer. One of the biggest things about fall camp is trying to get through it as injury-free as possible. And not to put a jinx on them, but it seems like Auburn's been pretty fortunate, at least up to this point, when we start putting the pads on and not losing anybody.
Yeah, and Jake, I feel like it would be, there'd be a different kind of pressure. In the indoor, it's the first scrimmage of fall camp. Your whole team's watching. There are going to be hundreds of former Auburn lettermen that have been invited. They're going to be in the complex, too. It's not the same.
No, because they've been in there on a daily basis.
Yeah. But I think knowing that there's,
more eyes on you.
There's more eyes and there's full contact, with the exception of the quarterbacks, which, we don't know how much they've been able to do with that either this offseason. So I think it'll be, it's clearly going to be evidence that there's a different level of pressure, at least, than there's been the first couple of days of fall practice.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the contact thing, when you're going full contact, that supersedes anything that's going to happen, because a lot of times the eyes being on you, that's a pre-contact. That maybe affects your prep a little bit. That ball is snapped. I mean, you're literally in the jungle. It's survival. So it's not as much about what eyes are on you. It's the fact that that you're going to get hit and that you have to be ready for it and you're playing at full speed. That's just a different level that you have to get yourself to from a preparation standpoint. But the goal is to try and simulate as close to possible as what you're going to get on game day, right? That's the whole point of practice at the end of the day as well, is to try and make it as game-like and simulate the game as much as possible, whether that's the environment around you, whether that's the way the practice or the scrimmage is scheduled. That's why you have different periods during team that are obviously very vital to being able to find out who you can really trust. And the crazy part is, outside of the veterans who have experience playing on game day, those young guys or those new guys, you really don't know until you go out there those first couple games. So it's an interesting dynamic, but it's a smart move by Auburn.
We had a chance to to get with a few of the players today, and I thought it was interesting something. We haven't even run this audio yet, and I haven't mentioned it. One of the things that Justin Rogers said was tomorrow is an opportunity for them to sort of get back. I had not heard this, but he was talking about how the offense has had a little bit of an upper hand with some of the things they're doing, but the defense hasn't shown all their tricks yet. I like the competition that they have, but I'm liking what I'm hearing from both groups there on that front line, on the line of scrimmage. I think Auburn's building some depth on the defensive front, and I think they feel pretty good about their offensive line.
Yeah, I think for the first time in a while, and you heard Jalen Simpson say it, talking about practice, he's like, this is the best wide receiver group that we've gone against since I've been at Auburn. And typically the rule of thumb is the defense is always ahead of the needs to always be ahead of the offense early, and then the offense kind of catches up. But you have to think about the variables here. You have a lot more experience returning on defense in reality, especially in the back end, than you do on offense when you look at it from the way the offensive line was flipped. You have a new quarterback that's come in Peyton Thorne. You got brand new wide receivers, so they're kind of feeling each other out. And what I think you may be seeing is a byproduct of the offense having different options pretty much each play in this RPO system. Because, you know, we hear the term balance all the time, and we talk about it on the show a bunch. You're never truly going to be 50-50 run pass, but balance is not being 50-50 run pass. Balance is taking advantage of what the defense is giving you every snap. You may have some games where you run for 300 yards and other games where you pass for 300 yards. It's dictated off what the defense is giving you. So I think this system, and then the new spacing splits with the wide receivers, a lot of people don't realize Phil Montgomery is from the Art Briles school of spacing when it comes to route running and combinations, where it goes against everything you've ever been taught, because DBs, whether it's the divider, are typically used to saying, all right, listen, when they come out in doubles, or they come out in 3-by-1, or they come out in the empty, they're typically lined up here, so I line up based on where they're lined up. But what Art Briles and Phil Montgomery have done is they've changed the spacing, so now you have to adjust to that spacing, which can give you that extra step, can give you that extra yard and a half to be able to operate, and it takes a while for the defense to be able to get used to it when you're going against actual offense from your offense that they're running. So there's a lot of different variables that are going on, but the fact that I think Auburn will be able to generate explosive plays on offense again is going to be something that's going to be huge, and the personnel's gotten better, especially up front, which that's the way you bridge the gap with the Alabamas and the Georgias and the LSUs. It's up front. It's not out wide.
What do you think Coach Freeze and Coach Montgomery are going to be looking for out of their quarterbacks in the scrimmage tomorrow?
Well, you know, again, we always talk about ball control, right? Like not turning the ball over. That's one thing. But, again, it's making the right decision. And sometimes the right decision doesn't lead to a 50-yard gain or a touchdown. It's throwing the check down. It's throwing the ball away. It's checking into the right play when you get a certain front. So, you know, we hear the term, and it's the worst term in sports when it comes to football, game manager. There's a negative connotation to it. I don't care if you're Michael Vick or you're Chris Todd. If you're not managing the game, you cannot play quarterback. That's like saying, oh, this pitcher is a game manager. Well, yeah, he has to manage the game. That's part of the deal. That's half of the job. So I think it's getting us in the right play, not making the big mistake, but also not being afraid to try and make the big play, because there's a needle to be threaded there, and a lot of that comes with experience. But when you have this style of system that gives you, you know, 2-3-way goes mid-snap where you can adjust or in the middle of the snap, I think that's what they're looking at. Who's going to make the right play to get us in the 2nd and 6, not 2nd and 10.
Game manager's always been such a backhanded compliment to me about a quarterback.
It's a terrible term. Think about it. If you don't manage the game, you can't play quarterback.
Well, and I feel like, Jake, people use it to mean overly conservative quarterback or limited quarterback.
They use it to mean non-athletic. Right.
That's what they use it to mean. You're not an athletic quarterback, so therefore you've got to make the smart decision every time to be effective. You know what I'd love? I would love an athletic quarterback that made the smart decision every time. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, but I also think it's about avoiding risk, right? Because I don't know if, like, Philip Rivers was thought of as an overly athletic quarterback, but I don't think he was a game manager either, right? Like, it's about, you know, guys who will, are you overly reliant on checkdowns? Are you not? Because sometimes you do need to make a risky throw as a quarterback, right, Jake? You need to get the ball somewhere.
For sure.
If you have a quarterback who doesn't do that, it can limit the offense.
You're scared. There's a term for it. It's called you're scared. You're scared to make a mistake, right? And I think there needs to be a certain amount of fear of failure in somebody, but not to the point where it hamstrings you during the play. You got to know when to say when. I mean, again, there's multiple ways to skin a cat. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He runs 4.9. Like, it's just that's not everything that goes. I would love to have a guy. I would love for Robbie Ashford, who runs 4.45, to be a great decision maker, be a consistent and efficient thrower, and be able to make plays in the scramble drill. That's the pinnacle of playing the position, but there's not a lot of those out there.
No, you're right. There's no question. That's what everybody's looking at, wondering if he was going to go ahead and as he had said – cut down to two quarterbacks after 10 days because tomorrow will be the 10th day.
So is it safe to say that they're looking for quarterbacks? If you're going to decide to gamble, your gamble better pay off, right? Like, take care of the ball. And that, you know, that doesn't mean be overly conservative or, like you said, Jake, play scared. But if you're going to make those gambles, you better win.
Yeah, you better not lose. If you lose much, then you'll lose your job.
Yeah, well, again, there's balance to everything, right? You have to know the situation. What's the score of the game? Where are we at in the game? What have we gotten before? Where do I feel like I can take advantage of the defense? Do I need to make – we're up by 10 points. With 6 minutes to go, I may not need to try and force that hole shot against cover two and just throw the check down and get in second and seven. So much more goes into it than just, do I need to make this throw? It's managing the game. That's what it is. That's why they say the quarterback is the coach on the field, because you have to have an understanding of not only what the defense is doing, not only the play call, but the time in the game, the situation. When to say when? When do you have to take that chance? There's so much that goes into it there's not a lot of guys that can do it at a high level for four quarters, especially in big games. So that's what you're trying to find out. Who can make the not necessarily the highlight decision, but the right decision that leads to the highlight decision, if that makes sense.
And I think that, Jake, we'd all be surprised if Peyton Thorne isn't one of those two guys because of his track record. I think most people have expected it to be Peyton and Robbie. Holden has had a really, really good fall camp, but that's what we don't know about him. That's what I've told people. Man, he throws a beautiful pass, but you don't know, is he going to get him in the right play? Is he going to make the right decision? And how quickly can he do that? So that's what's out there for tomorrow.
Well, yeah, look, especially, again, knowing you're a first-year coach at Auburn, right? You look at the momentum Auburn has in recruiting. You look at the way the fan base and the boosters and the alumni and the coaching staff and the players are all aligned, which hasn't happened in a while at Auburn. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So when you're making this decision in the back of your mind, you're saying, listen, do I want to bet the farm on my first year on a guy that doesn't have a ton of experience that we don't know? That's a big risk. You're hitting on 16 with the dealer showing a 7. Like, that's a big risk. So I think you're going to err more toward the side of Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford just because they have the unteachable intangible, which is the experience factor. But at the end of the day, you have to balance that with, the best player has to play, because I can't sit here and have any credibility in the locker room if I say, well, the best left guard's going to play, the best nickel's going to play, and then look at the quarterback position and say, oh, I'm scared to play the best player. So those are all things you have to balance out, and that's why you get paid the money that Hugh Freeze is getting paid.
Obviously, we're talking football an awful lot with the scrimmage coming up tomorrow, and Auburn, you know, Auburn keeping an eye, waiting the announcement from TJ Lindsey. But in basketball, Flory Badunga has got an announcement coming up at halftime tomorrow night.
Guys, I'm gonna tell you something. Right now, and y'all know me, I'm not going to say something if I don't believe it. The fact that Cooper Flagg reclassified today from 2025 to 2024, and pretty much everybody knows he's going to Duke, I think there is about an 80% chance that Auburn is about to sign the number one center in the country. In basketball, not in football, right? This isn't a five-star center from Duncanville, you know, or somewhere in Georgia. This is the number one center from Kokomo, Indiana, a state that I trust in basketball. And it looks like Auburn's going to beat out Duke and Kansas for a basketball player. The fact that I'm even saying that statement, and look, I think a lot of it you have to give credit to, look what Auburn's put in the NBA. Look at where Isaac Okoro got drafted. Look at Walker. Mm-hmm. Look at Jabari. I a lot of this adds up to being able to have credibility to go sit in that living room. And Bruce Pearl's taken over this recruitment. If Auburn signed, I'm telling you right now, this guy is the best player that Auburn would have signed ever in basketball. And that's saying a lot with Jabari and how he was ranked. He's the number one center in the country, and he's 6'8". Just think about that for a second. And you mix him with some of the other guys, Aiden Holloway and Pettiford, and these guys that Auburn has signed. Auburn has kind of been on the back burner a little bit when it's come to, and look, they gave Houston a good run for their money, but the standard at Auburn is so much higher in basketball now. And I hope, and I've said this multiple times on this show, what Bruce Pearl has done for this Auburn basketball program to me is more impressive than anything an Auburn football coach has ever done for Auburn, including Pat Dye. And I'll say that. And people think I'm crazy saying that. The fact that Auburn is in this position and probably about to sign this player is amazing. It's amazing. I remember when we signed Korvatny Barber, and that was the biggest thing that happened in Auburn basketball. This is a totally new level. Auburn is looking Duke and Kansas in the face and saying, guess what? Auburn Arena, Neville Arena, whatever they're calling it this week, this is a better place to go play basketball than Duke or Kansas. That is incredible to say.
You're absolutely right, Jake, and there'll be a lot of folks checking on that tomorrow evening. And I think if it is the case, yeah, there'll be an awful lot of surprised people over the weekend and then come Monday.
Hey, Jake, I wonder if conference uncertainty. I'm sure it's. I mean, for Flory Badunga, he's a one and done, and you know the ACC and the Big 12 will still have quality basketball programs. But I wonder if we're going to start seeing the conference uncertainty showing up on the recruiting trail more than it already has. How confident would you be to commit to an ACC program right now? The Pac-12, I have no idea how you recruit Stanford or Cal right now. What are you telling those kids on the trail? And now you got Auburn up against a Big 12 program and an ACC program. Granted, it's Kansas and Duke, but those are two conferences with, you know, sort of murky futures as far as who's going to be there and what kind of league it's going to be. Wonder if that helps an SEC program like Auburn.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it hurts, but I don't want to give credit to any other entity or any other thing other than Bruce Pearl, for lack of a better term, recruiting his butt off. And what this staff with Chad Pruitt and Stephen Pearl and all these guys are doing, it is just, it's amazing. You got to tip your hat. And look, the kid hadn't committed yet, and it's not over till they sign. But at the end of the day, we are to a point now where Auburn is running down Duke and Kansas in basketball. We watched them run Kansas out of the gym in the NCAA tournament. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to be recruiting in the same sphere and winning players against those guys. So, Dan, you're right. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think there's some aspect to that. I don't know how much because Duke, I can tell you this, Duke basketball is going to be fine. I don't care what happens with conference realignment or whatever. But at the end of the day, this is an unprecedented, historic achievement for Auburn basketball, and it's a kind of a very nice clapback to what Alabama's been doing here lately, even though they blew it in front of everybody in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you're right, Jake. Great stuff as always, man. We're completely out of time. Let everybody know what you've got going there at Crane & Company.
Man, well, it's been a great past couple of weeks for us. We're almost to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. We're talking a ton of college football. We just had Jeff Collins, former Georgia Tech Temple head coach, come on and talk about Hugh Freeze being the best play caller he's ever gone up against. I really encourage Auburn fans to go check out, go to Crane & Company on YouTube. It's C-R-A-I-N and Company on YouTube and subscribe and check that out. We're talking a ton of college football, having a bunch of fun over there. We're going to be covering all this recruiting, college football and college basketball, so come hang out with us.
Thanks, Jake, man. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Great stuff, Jake. Talk to you later.
Y'all too, man. Hey, as always, Dan, great to see you at SEC Media Days too, buddy. It's always great to run into you.
Absolutely.
Y'all
see
be
you
good.
Soon.
Take care, Jake. Got to get to our final break. Stick with us here on The Drive.
It's been from the Abbey.